Universität Hamburg.
I'm presenting a paper project or some ideas that I had with Dennis regarding this this book that Gordon, him, and Stefan is are planning to publish. And the focus of our part would be on inter-organization relations from a CCO perspective. How do you conceptualize inter-organizational communications? And here taking the example of the consultant-client relation as two organizations, so we're not talking about the consultant, but the consulting firm interacting with the client organization, and how do you conceptualize that from a communication perspective? Because you can say the communication in the one organization, there's communication in the other, communication in between, but why isn't that just an amorphous cloud of communication? How can you still talk about the interaction between two different organizations rather than just one big cloud? And so that's what we are looking at. So starting... The starting point is, well, generally CCO perspective gaining momentum in organization studies. That's just the setup of the paper. But however, even though the CCO perspective is gaining momentum, CCO has primarily focused on single organizations or phenomena within a single organization. How is a single organization constituted, and has so far neglected sort of the interaction between different organizations, apart from the only study that we know, but maybe our knowledge is limited, a forthcoming one by Tim and others, looking at cross-sectoral partnerships. And so in that case, interaction between different organizations. So the key question for us in our paper is, how can we conceptualize inter-organizational relations if organizations are understood as consisting of communications, as communication phenomena? And there are two things in this question: is how are organizations at the same time differentiated? How is it that you can differentiate, see two different organizations being two different communicative phenomena? You need to differentiate them in order to see how they relate to each other. Because if you see it as one communicative process, then it's not an interrelation or relation between two different things, it's just one thing. And so we are arguing that Luhmann could offer a fruitful perspective for studying this relation between two different organizations. Background to that is, first of all, Luhmann has been recognized as a third pillar in CCO thinking, so it's legitimate to draw on Luhmann in that case. So we are happy for that. So we are we're citing everybody who is referring to that as a third pillar, starting with that special issue introduction that's coming out soon. And we argue that Luhmann's framework is particularly suitable for studying inter-organizational relations, because Luhmann emphasizes very much this communicative boundedness of organizations, the boundary around the communication. So the starting point for Luhmann is sort of, where is the boundary of the organization, where is the boundary of the communication? In that sense, because it has this emphasis on distinguishing between different organizational systems, it opens up our perspective to looking at the mechanisms of relating the two to each other. Yeah. So the precondition for looking at the relation is that, first of all, you see them as different things. And so in this paper, we illustrate this with the example of consulting firms and clients firms, the interaction between the two, because here you have a very close interaction between the two, where it could seem initially that they are more or less the same. So I've got a simple picture, a simple conceptualization of the interrelation or relation between consultant and client is, you have the consultant system, you have the client system, and in the project they overlap, because you have consultants coming into the organization and working in the organization. So the simple picture is an overlap between two systems, so the relation between the two is an overlap, which is too simplistic. So the client has a problem, he defines a problem, the consultant comes in, generates a solution, and then the client accepts the solution, and then the problem is solved, sort of in a simplistic version. So what you have here is an overlap between two different systems. Yeah? So that's a simplistic assumption. If you take a Luhmannian perspective, it looks very different. Yeah? Because if you had this overlap, then it would be just one cloud of communication. Whereas if you take Luhmann, it looks different. The starting point, I mean, by definition, with his, if you draw on his theories, the client organization, the consultant organization, are two different communication systems. They are bounded, they are self-referentially closed, different. Yeah? And communication going on within the two systems is defined by the communications, by the specific communicative context. So you don't have just a transfer between them. So the interesting thing is then when you look at the consultant-client interaction, when you have clients and consultants talking to each other, they're communicating to each other, so how do you account for that? Well, that's the interesting thing. There's a third system in between. So the two systems never get directly into interaction, typically, but they get into interaction by forming a third system, the context system, which is again a separate system with its own communication logic, with its own boundaries, and also generating communications by themselves. So actually, instead of having an overlap between two systems, you have three different systems that do not overlap, they are completely separate. And all of them have their own logic of communication. So what you have is, between these systems, is no direct transfer of any kind of meaning or information or transfer of solutions or whatever, but just simply perturbations. So there is some kind of input, but this input is not a direct input that goes into the organization, but it just triggers or stimulates communication processes inside the different organizations. So typically what you would find here, the context system, consisting of the communications between the consultants and the members of the client organization, setting up a project team or whatever, that sometimes even is an organization in its own right, because sometimes these have organization structures with their own hierarchy and so on. So it often is a fairly permanent structure. I mean, temporary but permanent for the time being. And so what you have here is the client organization sort of tries to transfer its problem definitions into the contact system. The consultant organization maybe tries to transfer some solutions or whatever. But in the end, it's just perturbations that are reconstructed or produced, actually, on the basis of these perturbations in the contact system. So the contact system sort of produces a problem definition, and it produces a solution based on the logic of communication that's taking place there. And then that might again be transferred into the client organization, or in other words, they might, based on on the communications that have been going on in the contact system, create perturbations in the client system again that then gives rise to their own reconstruction or production of what they think has been happening and developed in the contact system. So what you actually find is that three systems, different logics, they cannot communicate across boundaries, but they can just trigger communications in the respectively other system. But these perturbations are not just entirely arbitrary, but sort of what you find is that the structures of communication within the different systems sort of are aligned. They adjust to each other. So it's not that it's entirely arbitrary what happens, but actually they align the structure. So in the context system, of course, they do not talk about just anything. They talk about issues related to the consulting project. So, and the consulting project or the labels they're using and so on are sort of aligned with what the client organization thinks it or communicates itself about as a problem. And similar, the consultant organization, the structures of the consultant organization, the communicative solutions that are being discussed there are sort of aligned in some way or other with the structures in which they communicate about this in the context system. So what you have here, to summarize, is three different systems. In terms of publication or studies that have been done on the basis of this, you can find sort of one paper that I did with Michael Moes, also included in this project, where I looked at the way that the context system actually, consulting project as such, influences the client organization. So when the contact system comes up with a solution to the problem, how this solution is actually causing a perturbation in the client organization, and on that basis, the client organization actually creates its own solution. So it thinks it's just transferring a solution from the contact system into the client organization, but actually the solution that the client system came up with is just a perturbation that then gives rise to the own construction of a solution. And the other way around, Dennis in a paper or in his dissertation looked at the way that communications that have been taking place in the contact system in the different consulting projects can actually be fed back into the consultant organization in terms of generating some learning across different consulting projects, finding in an empirical study, finding out that actually this transfer is not possible. Actually, they just get some stylized, formalized, materialized end products that they then sort of reconstruct as this was the way that they did this consulting project, and then they create their own understanding of what happened, and they sort of learn from just the illusion of knowing what has been going on. So just to summarize, the central points here in this way of framing the project, now that Simone is falling asleep, is that it's first a self-referential communicative process. So you look at the interaction as an interaction between self-referentially closed communicative systems. You have structural coupling between them, so it's not just arbitrary unconnected communications going on, but there are communications going on in three systems that sort of parallelized in not paralyzed but parallelized in some way, so structurally aligned. The only cross effect between the different systems is perturbation, which means the different systems trigger communications in the respective other system, but they do not transfer anything. And finally, there's a contact system. The interaction doesn't take place between the original organizations, but actually it gives rise to a contact system that sort of mediates or couples, structurally couples, the other two. So what can we learn from that overall for theorizing, thinking about inter-organizational relations more generally, also beyond consulting organizations? First of all, we have to consider this eigenlogik, this the different logics of the different systems, which determine how the communication takes place, what communication takes place, and that every communication is actually the product of that particular organization. So it's not a transfer of any communication possible. So this means that there are limitations to mutual observability. So the interacting organizations cannot know, cannot understand what's happening in the other system. They cannot observe what's happening there because they cannot understand the communications going on in respective other system due to the eigenlogik, due to the different logics of the system. It also means that there's no transferability of insights or transferability of meaning. Any meaning happening within a system, any communication within a system is that system's own product and not a transfer. And of course, it also means the limits to deterministic points of control. So the consulting project cannot control, has no direct effect on what is ultimately going to happen in the client organization, nor can the client actually control what the consulting system is or the consulting project is actually doing, what is happening there. So it sort of has its own logic and develops its own dynamic, which is not controllable. And in terms of insights, it emphasizes this, that we have to think in terms of perturbations rather than input in this relation between different systems. And now the final two points, which are very central, this relation between two systems, the relation between two organizations, means that first of all, they need to be clearly differentiated from each other. So boundaries are constitutive for the relation. And when you think of the consultant-client interaction, often what you hear is this problem of, okay, there's this gap between the client and the consultant, and they think in different ways, they communicate in different ways, and we have to close this gap between them, and we have to get them closer. Well, actually, from this perspective, you see that this is a problem. Because if you do away with that boundary between them, then they just merge into one organization, into one system, and then the question might arise, so why do you need somebody from outside to tell you what to do if you want them to merge? Then just put up a then just do the consulting inside of the organization. So the main point about consulting is the boundary that somebody from outside is coming in, which means a lot of the relation is about maintenance of the boundary. Rather than ensuring that you interact, you ensure that the boundary is not done away with. Yeah. So, and also when you look at communications taking place in these relations, is a lot of even explicit communications about boundary. I mean, what is us, what is them? So when the consultant comes in, is this something that we said, that we decided, or is something that the others decided and the others said? And so it's a lot about boundary maintenance or boundary management. Where is the boundary? How do we define the boundary? And we would argue that from a CCO perspective, that would be one of the central insights also by looking at it in communication terms, that the boundary, the gap between them, is constitutive for the relation between the two. That's it, and looking forward to discussing that.